Well, I saw two stories that I wanted to cover, and they're so completely different that I couldn't think of a way to cover them. And then I suddenly realized, no, hang on, dummy. It's the difference that's important. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Weddle here with Steve Green and Scott Ott, and this is Your Right Angle. Guys, different things are happening in different kind of the different areas of the world right now. And I've done a little work lately on this whole idea of risk assessment and fear calibration and all the rest. This one comes from you, Steve. We have you to blame for this.
Sorry.
I'm going to let it run in its entirety. We may run out of beepage. We only have so much beep footage that we can use to beep out obscenities, and supplies may be running dangerously low. But while you will not hear any obscenities, you will see something that will incline you to them. Take a look.
There was a meeting about mask mandates at my city hall tonight, and outside of it, on my way home, I passed a bunch of anti-maskers trying to protest for the right to die and end up disabled. And all I want to do is scream, "F you! Please die! Just die! Like, you're literally killing yourself and the people around you. I am out of empathy at this point. Why am I wearing a mask to protect your f-ing child when the bare minimum of parenting is to protect them and you won't?"
There's somebody who's a bit upset about the possibility that she might fall into the 10% of the population that contracts the unnamed virus of unspecified origin. And if that were to happen to her, then she'd only have a 99.98% chance of survival if she was one of the 10% that caught it. And furthermore, probably the 0.02% in her age group is probably due to people with serious comorbidities. But let's put that aside. That's an awful lot of anger, rage, and fear for a threat that has an excess of 99.99% survival rate for her. On the other hand, on the other side of the world, there's this guy. This kindly man is a folk singer in Afghanistan, and our partners in peace, the Taliban, have ruled that there will be no music in Afghanistan. You know, in the new improved Afghanistan that we're told is just much, much different. So since there won't be any music, and by the way, can we just be clear on this, folks? They're not saying no Western music. They're not saying no decadent music. They're saying no music. Well, this gentleman is a Afghan folk singer. So the Taliban went down to where they live and shot him dead. So, my question for you two guys is, on one hand, you have somebody getting absolutely hysterical, Steve, over the 1 in 10 chance that she'll contract something with a 99.99% survival rate. You know what the survival rate for Afghan folk singers is so far?
Zero.
Zero, zero.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a conceit that's been on display for the last year, year and a half that drives me a little crazy, frankly. And this conceit is that there is some magic formula. There is some government order. There are things you can do that will guarantee that you will never get sick. And that's just not true. It's never been true. We've got a once in a century pandemic going on here. Thank goodness there are only once in a century. And the fact is that these things have to burn themselves out before it's over. And that usually takes a couple of years. And what you do is the same thing we've done in every other one of these pandemics that has helped. You vaccinate the people you can vaccinate. You quarantine the sick and you get on with your life. And particularly when you've got something whose mortality rate is so low, unless you happen to be in one of the risk groups, which themselves are pretty small, the getting about your business thing has got to be what we do. It's not. And it's in large part because of this conceit that you have the right not to get sick. It's one thing to insist
Absolutely.
That healthcare is a right. No, Now you have the right to never get sick. And if I have to speak a harsh and brutal truth, it's this. Jesus may love you, but the world doesn't give a damn. And you saw that on full display in Afghanistan these last 2 weeks. It doesn't matter what you think your rights are as an American or as a friend of America, where America's writ no longer runs, those rights don't mean anything. Your God-given right to sing the music you love, that doesn't exist where the Taliban's writ runs. And if I had to put these two stories together in some new way, I guess I just have to say that we are learning these lessons. They're not easy. They're not comfortable. Nobody wants to have to learn them. God knows I didn't want my kids, they're 15 and 11, to have to learn this kind of stuff at their ages. But maybe it's sort of a natural pruning process that is going to get us back. And I have to borrow Zoe's word from the previous segment here to get back some of our lucidity,
which is in short supply. Yeah. Zoe, you could hear from, let's just get off of that other country for a while. You could hear the unbridled screaming at the top of your lungs rage. And it's not just this video. We've seen them screaming at the top of their lungs in cars. We've seen Karen screaming out in the middle of a public square. We've seen them screaming at the top of their lungs about everything, screaming at the top of their lungs. This particular video comes from a channel called TikTok for Libs, I think on Twitter, and TikTok. And I scrolled down there, and sure enough, every single one of them is bat guano crazy. Have you noticed that about the people who are really the most vocal progressives, that they start talking politics, they get this look. Here's a screen grab for you. See what I mean? This thing, doesn't that kind of prove something?
Yeah, it indeed does. We've seen this. We've seen this behavior for a long time. And for these people, COVID is the least of your worries. I think you might be more concerned about like hypertension or something like that. These people are going to have a flipping stroke. I think these are the things that they should be more concerned about. But when I say these things about these other things, concerns that they have, it's not about COVID. These people, these are emotional wrecks. These people are emotionally.
Bingo. Yeah. Bingo. That's it right there.
Yes. Yeah. This is just.
This just gives them something to be crazy about.
Exactly. And the cray cray was already there. And I'm not making light of the things that may. Who knows what is. Push these people over there. And at the same time, also, I don't exactly. It's hard to feel sorry for these people, because you have a lot of these people have a parasitic approach. They latch onto other people's problems and see themselves as virtuous because they're outraged for other people. And people will turn into full-on drama queens to make themselves look like they're virtuous and compassionate and basically moral supremacists compared to everybody else by how outraged they can get. But at the same time, there are those who have been scarred and they don't know how to deal with their emotions. There are some people who have either been afflicted or they've been emboldened to feel like they can just go ahead and express themselves, speak their mind and show how passionate and how outraged they can be about things. And somehow COVID became between COVID and the vaccine has become a way for people to really express this outrage, selective outrage, really. It's like all the things that you could be outraged about, really. You think
like
that,
killing folk singers across on the other side of the planet? You mean like that kind of thing?
Yeah. Exactly.
Because that's what makes me angry.
Yes. What happened to civil rights? Wait a minute. That's not important to you now. What happened to like human rights? That's not important to you now. And I just think it's so strange that these people could do something so cruel. But this stuff won't be anything. This guy who was playing music and was executed by the Taliban. No, what people are going to remember is that Christians those mean people who don't allow you to play the devil's chord. You can't play the devil's chord in Christianity. It's like, are you serious? That's the thing that you guys remember? And that's nowhere written in the Bible. And that's nothing that any actual Christian would say, yeah, dude, we're not squared up with that. If you read the Bible, you would see that God actually loves music. He loves it. King David was an incredible musician. King David liked to rock out. He stripped down to his drawers and rocked out. He loves music. When God shows up, that music is bumping. He says, play skillfully on those strings, on them drums. I want it loud like thunder. That's how God gets down. But no, we're not going to be this thing that happened with this person. Oh, big deal. It's COVID that we have to worry about. This selective psychotic outrage that these people have. That's another thing in itself it's like spiritual suicide. You guys are just killing, you're choking yourselves to death, just trying to stuff your mouth with this thing that you see as delicious, this self-righteousness that you're doing. And it reflects a lot of people. That's just a couple of people that we've got on tape. There's a lot of people out there who are just this belligerent, and it doesn't really even have anything to do with COVID.
That's, you know, I guess that's why this appeal, why this this idea for these two extremely different stories appealed to me. I saw the look of absolute insane rage and hatred on a person whose life is about as secure and prosperous as life on earth. Well, not about, which is the most secure, prosperous, and safe life that has ever been lived on planet Earth in all of its history. And her face is filled with rage and hatred. And then a guy who is, risking his life to play music for his people and end up paying for it, his expression is friendly and calm and human. Human. And that's the word I'm looking for. The guy in Afghanistan who played music because people wanted to hear music and was killed for it strikes me as a guy who was a happy guy and led a happy life. And the person who is losing their mind over other people taking risks, by the way. That's what she's upset about. Other people taking risks strikes me as never having had a happy day in their entire life. So all of these assumptions about if we're safe, we're happy, not true. If times are good, then this is what we'll remember most fondly. Strangely enough, no. Every time you talk to people who've been through the grinder, and I mean the grinder, World War II grinder, you find that no matter how hard the times got, that's the memories they're most fond of, because that's what brings out the best in people. And the inverse of this is true as well. The smoother things sail and the less there is to worry about and the less threat there is, the meaner and the nastier you get. It's a peculiar creature, this human being, capable of amazing things, both good and bad. And here we are, inheritors of a system that understood that human nature and built a machine that would keep us away from our worst selves and turn us to the better angels of our nature. And we're disassembling that about as fast as our little hands can carry us. But don't forget, folks, the government is the government. The Constitution lives here and it lives here. It lives in us and they can't take that away. So they're going to lose this fight. It's just going to get worse before it gets better. For Steve Green and my friend Alfonso Rachel and for Scott Ott, who we miss very much and expect to see back next week, I'm Bill Whittle. Thank you for the members at BillWhittle.com that keep programs like this coming.